That's the task we face, really any game. But Carolina, they expose you because they have, you know, players at every position that can hurt you.
Come on, everybody.
You're in the zone.
In the zone.
The Zone with Jason Anderson. Powered by CC Power Sports of Louisville.
You never saw that thing go to my mouth.
Want to be part of the show? Give us a call at 267-9680.
Now,
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
That guy was as stiff as humanly possible.
Powered by CC Power Sports of Louisville on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
I don't remember 69, no. That's a Friday edition of The Zone. It's ESPN 680, 105.7. Jason Anderson with you as we head up to 6 o'clock, as we typically do. Thank you, Magic Mike. A little fun intro there. I certainly appreciate the music in the background. I don't know if that's going to be playing tomorrow or how often it's going to be playing tomorrow. Hopefully the entire game. We'll find out. We will all find out together, won't we? Coming up at about, 4:30 tomorrow. I should let you know, though, all of those games that are coming up this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, our coverage starting at about 3:30 with the Colts and also the Cowboys-Rams. That game will start at about 7:45 or so. NFL on ESPN is presented by Huffman Auto Group, UPSJobs.com, and delivered by Papa John's. Andy Sweeney, I'm told, is back in the studio.
Yep,
and,
I'm here.
Him being back in the studio and full court press at 4 o'clock, sports or leisure. A number of things that I would like to talk to Andy about. You know, college football, college basketball, some NFL stuff. I will start with this, though, very quickly. Andy, you don't have to take too much time on it at all. You don't need to spend, you don't need to elaborate. I would just like you as a friend, Andy, as a friend. That's all I'm asking. I'm not talking about an analyst.
Okay.
I don't want you to put your, you know, football, you know, Freddy hat on. I would like you to.
Can I be football? Can I be football
basketball?
Frankie? Yeah, football Frankie is what I would like to be.
Was it basketball Betty? Is and what was the football? Was
dude,
it football
I have
Frankie and basketball Benny.
I have no idea the football. It's either football Freddy or football Frankie. Those are the only F names that I can think of that we can say on the air.
Basketball Bennies. That's right. Just
I'm annoyed about who put this drop in the Car Express because it's like 2 degrees on the volume. It's annoying the crap out of me.
Well, it's Cooper.
It could be some better drops.
If it was crazy overmodulated, it'd be Nick. So, I mean, I think we figured out.
All right, so what's the question? What's the question?
I just very briefly, 30 seconds, just calm my fears for tomorrow. That's all, as a friend.
Oh, calm me. Well, so
calm my fears.
I would say in the hierarchy, and I said this on the midday rush, of NFL games coming up this weekend, I would have the Chiefs and Colts at third in my least confident. Like, I feel like Dallas is going to win, and I feel good about the Chargers. Those two games, for some reason, I feel good about. The Chiefs and Colts, I can make really compelling arguments both ways, quite frankly.
I
heard Fat Jack say that he thinks it's going to be like who gets the ball last is going to win. I said on the midday rush that I thought the Chiefs would win 31-30. What I feared, though, are all these chesty Chiefs fans like Spencer Keatsman who are all in. And I know you're not one of those, but I feel like since you were at this game specifically, since I'm not sure that Drew isn't a bad luck charm. Right? I mean, all he does is complain about his team's losing and losing bets. Like, if he starts picking the Chiefs to win the game, I'm going to be legit nervous for you. But I did pick the Chiefs to win 31-30. I picked Kansas City to win 31-30.
He's 2-0 in his time watching games at Arrowhead. And the last playoff game I went to was 93 against Pittsburgh, which is the last home playoff game they won.
How old were you in 1993? Because I was 9.
13,
there you go.
13 years old. 13-year-old Jason with a very warm an enthusiastic embrace of the father-son when Joe Montana throws the touchdown to tie the game against the Steelers to go into overtime. Big,
there you go.
Big memories, Andy. Big, big memories.
So how tired are you? You guys flew out of what town? Like 6:30 in the morning?
I'm telling you, dude, I am running on just caffeine. So if I crash about 5:25 or so, magic, this is where
Chris
you're going to earn the big bucks. This is, yeah, that's right. That's
the
right.
Producers, 5:30 to 6.
Yes.
We didn't have producers last night because of the holiday party, but we're going to do it today, 5 to 6. What better time? An hour earlier and a day later.
I've got a really burning take on the Rooney Rule and its implications for the NFL.
There it is. 5:30.
Let me tell you about Rooney a wall. Rule. The only wall I see is the owners in the NFL making a wall from – all right, I'm not going down that road. But yeah, I mean – well, honestly, replay Chris Mack and Joel Justice. That's the 5 o'clock hour. We're good there.
It wasn't even Cal. The email said Cal. Was it actually Joel Justice? Was it Joel Justice?
Yeah, aww. It was. It was like 20 minutes ago. He just wrapped up, I think.
I mean, that's your boy. Yeah, the back, people have been giving takes in the back for like 8 hours here. I mean, the sales.
What are the takes going on there? Because there are hardly any takes here. We've been doing meetings and all of that stuff. So now I formatted the show and all that stuff on the flight this morning. So I'll be honest, I haven't really been around Twitter much except for like 20 minutes ago when I got on. I'm like, oh, Joe Justice is talking. All right, well, let me go back and listen to the Chris Mack press conference, see what he had to say. Because everything else I sort of prepared for in terms of talking points and bullet points and things to ask you about and so on and so forth. So what are the arguments at the office today?
Oh, the arguments are just takes about the company party last night at Bridge and Barrel in Jeffersonville. That's like 99% of it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
I mean, is that Drew sports and I had conversations. Takes? Yeah, I mean, what sports
Drew and
takes
I had conversations
are out there
about that as well.
I mean, I give you 30 seconds on the Notre Dame game last night, the women's game, and that's it. And then, it ends there.
Yeah, right. I mean, there was a lot of upset people watching the game last night, so... and a lot of upset people at the officials. I got home and father-in-law, big Louisville fan, first thing he said.
Really?
He's talking about the women's refs in that game. He was not happy as well. A lot of people upset. Do we think, and let's just start off here, Andy, do we think the women's officiating specifically has it out for Jeff Walls?
267-9680. I believe so.
It kind of seems like
no,
it.
No, I actually kind of believe it.
In reality. Yeah, I mean, he is not very easy on him. And I think they kind of return the favor at times. Who knows if that is actually the case. Conspiracy theories in women's college basketball next.
So you mentioned the Rooney Rule. Magic Mike mentioned the Rooney Rule. Uh-huh. You went to the wall.
That's
and
right.
Then it kind of sounds like we're talking about reverse sexism here.
That's right.
It's 308.
So we've solved the world problem.
Yes.
I mean, we're good. We can move on now.
Yep.
We can just call it a day. All right. Play the Chris Mack press conference 15 different times. And everybody enjoy the weekend. Don't forget the NFL coming up this weekend. But we do have pregame for Louisville, postgame for Louisville, postgame for Kentucky this weekend. Chris Mack did talk in all seriousness. I do want to talk about Eddie Grant not at Georgia. I want to talk about Kentucky and sort of Vandy to a certain degree, and I definitely want to get into Louisville and North Carolina, some of the things that Chris Mack said, which, by the way, a couple of things, and really the entire theme of the press conference I thought was a little concerning from a head coach that's, very candid, and Chris Mack has been that. And it's not hyperbolic, and it's not, over the top, and it's not the greatest this and the worst that and the most athletic that. I mean, it's not the, all right, Rick's talking, how much are you going to sort of, peel away and sift through all the muck to actually find any nuggets. Like Chris Mack is, the information I receive from Chris Mack, I feel like he's being candid and genuine when he's talking about his team and not sort of, I'm only saying things to sort of send a message to my team, so I'm only going to talk in those terms. Like, that may be some of the time that he's doing that. I don't feel like it's all the time. And I feel like when he's talking about his team, he's just generally giving you things that are going on. And today it was just general frustration with what he's seeing from his team as of late. And specifically, the theme was defense today with Chris Mack. So I want to get into that and the North Carolina game tomorrow for Louisville. So it could be a crazy show. I don't know. I'm just on caffeine. We got up this morning at 4 o'clock and I went to bed about midnight last night. So we'll see. We'll see how the show goes. I don't know. Could be fun. Could be terrible. Well, could lose my job by 6 o'clock.
I do think that one of the biggest differences is Patino would say similar things of Chris Mack, but Patino would do it with charisma and a smile. And Chris Mack is giving you a frown when
annoyance.
Annoyance when he delivers a similar message. And when Patino would offer it in hyperbole and humor, we would be like, you would just laugh it off.
There's
and
kind Rick.
Of yeah, and kind of believe the opposite. But with Chris Mack, it's like, okay, this ain't good. That's how people see it.
Let's play a clip, clip number three, if you can, Magic. I believe the question was a simple, and I'll lead in with this, a simple, what's there to improve on defense?
It's everything. It's everything. If it was one thing, it might be a little easier to fix. It's effort. You know, a lot of things that you need on that end of the floor to be successful. A lot of the things that you need team-wise. It just starts with want. And, you know, that has not been where it needs to be.
He's not a guy that was sugarcoating it at all.
Nope.
Like sometimes you'll get a coach like, you know what, right there. You know, we just need this to happen, that to happen. We're there. We're a play here. You know, we needed this to happen against Pittsburgh, or we needed that to go right in this team. He's not backing away from the fact that this team is not playing at the level it was when they played Michigan State and when they played Seton Hall. He was asked about that. And you know what? Let's go ahead and play that clip, too. Those are the two that sort of stood out to me. We'll combine those words. It's fine. He was asked what is different now than what was going on when you won against Michigan State and Seton Hall.
I think we were doing a much better job of not letting one play affect the next. We were containing the basketball. You know, I think with Seton Hall specifically, a little bit easier to do at times. You know, with maybe their personnel. Some of the personnel from other teams has given us a tough way to go. I think they gained their confidence, and I'm talking about Pittsburgh when McGowan's hit a couple threes, which hasn't necessarily been a strength of theirs going into the game. And, you know, then it led to downhill driving and us not being able to foul. So, again, I think that when you look at some of the games where we won, that maybe we were playing better defense. We weren't giving up as many points in transition as we did against Pittsburgh. You know, there were a lot of times where, quite honestly, their defense led to their offense. And those are indefensible. You know, three-on-twos, two-on-ones, having mismatches because you're sprinting back in transition, your defense not set, that really hurt us the other night against Pittsburgh.
He's a frustrated coach, and I think he's a frustrated coach because the way they were playing against Michigan State and Seton Hall, he probably would have liked to see what that team would look like against North Carolina, against some of those teams in the ACC where you go, wow, Louisville's got a real opportunity to pull off a win against that team. The way they played against Pittsburgh, they've got no shot tomorrow against North Carolina. Now, it's a 12-point spread at KenPom, so I would expect it'll be somewhere around there with Vegas as well. But I don't know many people that would be confident that Louisville can go to North Carolina and win. If North Carolina was right after Michigan State and Seton Hall, you'd be people breaking down Louisville's chances in the matchup and what they can do to knock off North Carolina. And this team is different, and we've seen it. We've talked about it, that they haven't been playing at that level. The coach is frustrated, and I think when he's asked what do you improve on defense, and he says everything. Like, everything has to be improved on, whether it's on-ball defense, whether it's defensive schemes, whether it's effort. Like, that's not a coach sugarcoating it. That's a coach annoyed. That's a coach that's mad. That's a coach that's frustrated. He sounded even a little bit tired today as well, and maybe that's just because he was up till midnight and got up at 4 o'clock. I don't know. Some people do that. Like, he sounded a little bit tired today as well, and they're getting ready to take a trip to North Carolina. Like I don't know all the things that are going on behind the scenes in terms of practice, but he sounds like and it feels like, and certainly the way it comes across as a coach that's, you know, trying to pull and figure out and pull more strings and do different things to try to get this team to get back to where they were. And I think there's a level of frustration that it's not happening, and it's going on in the defensive end. And, Andy, those defensive numbers, the analytics, the efficiency ratings are just dropping and dropping and dropping for Louisville. They now sit 83rd in the country.
Wow.
In defensive efficiency. And it's not a surprise because that's what they've looked like.
Yeah.
The last few games. So it's not surprising that they, you know, would keep dropping and sit at number 83. But it's incredibly concerning when you say, well, what can you do to fix the defense or what needs to be fixed? And he says everything. Effort, scheme, you know, stopping the straight line drives that Pittsburgh and Miami had and certainly Kentucky had. Like, okay, great. You're going to stop the straight line drives. That's what you need to do. Have fun with Coby White. All right, great. I mean, all you got to do now is guard Coby White. And by the way, if he gets past you, you got Cam Johnson and Kenny Williams on the wing.
No, I think
and you got Luke May in the short corner. You can drop it off to Garrison Brooks on the block. Good luck if you're not going to stop Coby White and keep him in front of you. And by the way, McGowan's and Johnson The Louisville defense couldn't keep those guys in front of them. So there's some real concern from Chris Mack, and I think it's because the way that defense is playing, and I don't think he's seeing the toughness that he would like to see, you know, halfway through the season when he felt like he was getting it a quarter of the way through the season.
Whether it's unfair or fair to compare him to the last guy in Rick Pitino, it felt as if Rick Pitino in press conferences had an agenda, and he called guys out in his own way, and he would use reverse psychology. I don't think, and we need more data, Jason, but I don't think that Chris Mack is doing that. I think Chris Mack, I'm not sure, I mean, he's probably calling guys out, even though it's not individually, and Rick used to do that a lot more.
Yeah.
But, I mean, as a unit, Chris Mack is calling them out, and I don't think there's any reverse psychology being used here. I think it's just straight, bare analysis of what he sees. And the effort thing is one thing that I don't understand. And so a couple days ago, Bobby V led his show with this on how he's noticing, as, you know, a former coach, how all these other coaches are talking about effort, that they're not happy with the effort of their team. And I'm not saying I disagree with Chris Mack, but I'm questioning, is it effort with Louisville? I mean, in other words, can bad play also be effort? Because I feel like some of the times it can be effort, and then some of the times it's like, look at your roster. Does that make sense?
It does, but the only pushback I would give is if it was just roster and they didn't have the ability to do those things, I don't think they would have been in the game against Tennessee for 33 minutes or overtime with Marquette, beating Michigan State, going on the road and beating Seton Hall, and quite frankly, in the game and an opportunity to win against Indiana. I don't think those things would have happened if it was an inability, right?
Okay, but let me argue this, though. But yep. My only argument back would be, I'm not disagreeing with Chris Mack, but early in the season, it's like we talked about with Lamar Jackson. The Chargers were able to play good against Lamar Jackson last week. Why? Because they had a lot of tape on him. Because he wasn't new.
Because you had
5-6 weeks of being to see what he could do, or, quite frankly, what he could not do, and you played him. So that was an extra level for the Chargers, and I kind of feel like here, Louisville, what's going to hurt Louisville specifically about that Marquette game is that was one you could have won at the beginning of the year before people kind of had tape. And I feel like when we talk about the Cards and the Cats, Kentucky fans are relying on the fact that they're going to get a lot better, that their ceiling can be really high this season. Can they eventually get there in March? We'll find out. And I feel like on the Louisville side, it's how much of a higher ceiling is there with this team, right? And we know Jordan Ward is going to be better, but there's not like there's going to be a guy. Like, do we think that Darius Perry, if you believe that he is a C-minus right now to this team, do you think he's going to become a B-plus in the next month and a half? I personally don't. And so that's why I look at it and say, yes, I agree with Chris Mack that he's seen effort not given that's there. The other part of it is, effort always looks better when you have better players. Does that make sense?
It does, but even good players, like I think Kentucky's much more talented than Louisville, but also you can see sometimes when they're not giving effort. Like there were large stretches against Alabama, against A&M when they would take a decent lead and go, okay, we've now got the lead, and then the next thing you know, A&M's back in the game, and they're like, all right, let's put A&M away, and then A&M gets back in the game. I think you can see even talented players. But you're right. What I've always said is, like, when you see teams that may foul a lot, or you may see a team that's undermanned, and it's like, well, yeah, I mean, it's 7-1 on the board in fouls. Well, yeah, because that guy's not nearly as good, so he's getting beat off the dribble, or he's getting beat to the block, or he's not nearly athletic enough. I mean, Akoya Gao, and this is, by the way, not to pick on him, it's just an example. When he had the ball on the block against Pittsburgh, and he goes to jump to shoot a hook shot, and the way the guy was positioned, he might have gotten fouled if he was more athletic and able to jump, but he doesn't have any lift whatsoever. And so the Brown or whoever the other kid was, Chukwuka, just stands there and puts the arms up and they grab the ball. If he's able to spring and go up, that guy's arms hit the player's arm. Now it's a foul. And so because he's not athletic enough and good enough at this level, he's not drawing the foul. And so he's getting blocked and they're going the other way. And so it's like, good God, Akoy, jump or do this. And, you know, and so sometimes I think that can also look like you're not trying, to the point that you're making. I just don't know, like, if that's the point on defense where it's like, okay, these guys don't have the ability to get stops, because I've seen them get stops before And I think the reason Chris Mack is doing so much focus on the offensive end, Andy, is one of the reasons is I don't think he looks at it and says there's a whole lot more upside on offense for this team. That he knows what he has. It's Cunningham who's going to be solid. Wara's going to have a game where he's probably going to drop 17, 18, could get to 20.
But he has to have
touches.
He's
going to have to take a lot of shots.
He has to have touches,
yep.
Right.
Dwayne Sutton's going to be a guy that you hope is going to be sort of that bulldog, going to score 12 points in different ways, free throws, mid-range, layup, three-pointers, do a number of different things, and you need a guy or two to help out along the way. Is it going to be McMahon one night, Malik Williams against Miami? Can it be Darius Perry for a night? Can Stephen Enoch be a guy that steps up? Like, who's a BJ King? Like, I don't know. There's a number of different guys you say could be the fourth guy. And I think Chris Mack looks at it and says, I don't think BJ, like, I don't know if he looks at it this way, but I certainly do. I don't think BJ King's getting out of this slump before the season
is
over.
It's not a slump.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's not playing to the level that he probably should be, but he's also not the player that people thought he was.
You don't have a two-year slump.
Or people were. Well, I'm saying, like, he's not the level of player that people thought he was going to be.
Boy, that Grand Canyon is a real slump there in the middle of the country.
Right. That's right. That's a good point, right? It's funny.
What TV show is that from? Is that an original joke?
It's just a good line.
By the way, Magic Mike's heart got broken twice last night. At some point,
God,
I got to tell you about that on the air. Well, do you remember this, Magic Mike? Carolyn McClain met Magic Mike last night.
Oh, I heard this story today that Drew told the story.
Oh, yeah.
Drew told the
story. Which is also funny because we met at
Ribs
Giving last year.
No. Drew told the story today to president of the company and owner, Chad Boger, the story that Carolyn had last night with you, Magic.
Carolyn looks at Magic Mike and goes, oh, bleep, you look like Chewy Chewbacca.
And it's like, Chewy's not a nickname.
It is now.
Chewy's not a nickname. Like, his name, I mean,
and you'd have loved
Chewbacca.
This.
It's Magic Mike, not
so
Chewy Chewbacca.
We were eating the cheeses from Bridge and Barrel, and I go to Magic Mike. I go, oh, yeah, Locke has a funny story that you'll love. And, of course, I found it funny, but it was detrimental to the ego of one Magic Mike. And it's that all the female producers with Lachlan McClain at Spectrum TV knew about Magic Mike, his name, as a producer on the radio, and they thought that was because he was a shirtless male stripper,
right.
Chippendales, and not Magic the Gathering, and they were disappointed. So there's that story as well, Magic. I apologize.
By the way, Locke, worst wingman ever.
I mean,
worst wingman
you're
ever.
Not kidding.
I mean, right?
I mean, just lie to him.
No doubt. Ask
just
Andy
10
to noon.
Yeah, just lie,
right?
Locke. Come on.
anyway.
Keldon Johnson.
VJ King's two-year slump. Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
VJ King, Keldon Johnson, I don't know. VJ King, I don't think is this bad. But he's also not the player that people were hoping he would be. So there's probably somewhere in the middle, maybe closer to this. I'm not sure. But I don't think he's going to be a guy that's going to turn it on and be 12 points a game. And I don't think Darius Perry is going to figure that out. I think Ryan McMahon is what he is when he's in the game, take shots when they're open. They'll run some plays for you to get open as well. But I think that's the reason why you continue. And certainly the numbers bear it out in how poor they're playing on the defensive end of the floor. But I think that's one of the reasons why you see Chris Mack harping on defense, because that's the upside for Louisville. Offense is sort of where it's at and where it's going to be. How do you get better? Defense. That's how you get better. And, in fact, they've regressed. So can you get back to the level they were playing before when you beat a Michigan State, when you take care of a Seton Hall? Can you get to that level and simply play to that a degree? And then you're a tournament team. But if you're playing defense like this, knowing what the offense sort of is, you're going to the NIT this year. And so I think that's why we hear defense so much from Chris Mack. Is that's where the upside and how Louisville gets better this year, if there is another level to them, it's on the defensive end. I don't know if they have that to where they can put it together and be that team that takes another level defensively and a huge step up, but I think that that's the only way they do. I don't think they do that
offensively. Well, I think you said something a couple minutes ago that makes the most sense, and that is offensively, and when I talk about it as well, offensively, how much better can they get? The reason Chris Mack is talking about this is because effort/defense is the reason they can get better, is the way they can get better, I should say.
They've got to be a team that's sort of like the Hoosiers goes out there and scrap.
Because offense is not as much effort. It's a lot more, to me, skill. It is. Yeah. Right? It's a, there's no play that's drawn up for Jordan Ward to hit a bunch of deep threes. That is what he is good at. And when he misses those, obviously, what we see with Pittsburgh. John Calipari gets bagged on this all the time, but John Calipari, the rolling the ball out there, the dribble drive or whatever it may be, where there's not a play, just let the, you know, let basketball happen and let the best player be the best player on the floor. As much as we like to act like that doesn't exist at other places, it does. Like, you need to have that at times. Cal just maybe wants to do that a little bit more than, say, like Virginia.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, I mean, one of the things that I've credited with Cal with is that, you know, these two, both things cannot be true in sort of views generally about Cal and then about, like, AAU. It can't be true that AAU players don't care about winning and don't play defense, and it can't be true that Cal doesn't know how to coach basketball and X's and O's, because somehow he takes a bunch of guys that we are told defense doesn't matter, and he turns them every year into a really good defensive team. So something, either they're really awesome at AAU defense and he just gets them, and hey, they're already really, you know, well prepared to play team defense and they're all on a string and they're playing help defense and they're shutting guys down on, you know, man-to-man, or he knows what he's doing in terms of coaching the defensive side, and he's able to get the effort out of those players for the most part. Almost every team you've seen it, that he's had that team by the end of the season playing with a certain level of effort and energy, and that's the frustration right now with his team that's going on. And I think there are coaches out there that are better at getting the effort and energy. And I'm not saying Chris Mack is not good at that, because that's what everybody was sold on with Chris Mack, is that if there's going to be one thing that you will see a Chris Mack team do, they will be the tougher team. When they step on the floor, they'll be the tough team. They'll be the team that you don't want to play. It's like, you know, we said with Charlie Strong's teams that, hey, you know what? You may not win every game, but it sort of felt like after you left playing at the end with Charlie Strong the fourth year, that you just didn't look forward to playing them, because they had no problem coming up and hitting you right in the mouth. And that was sort of the tenacity and that defense that Charlie built in the culture that 3 years later, or 2 years later, whatever it was, when Bobby's got, you know, Lamar and, you know, an opportunity to go to Clemson, that half those defensive players were still Charlie guys that were playing in Charlie's last year, that he built that sort of culture that they were going to come up and punch you. There was a crazy stat a few years ago about TCU and Gary Patterson that it was like 7 weeks in a row that the team had played TCU, and the next week they lost by 10-plus points. And that was when his defenses were nasty and they were number one or number two in the country, and they were battling Baylor for, you know, college football playoff. And it was like, yeah, because Gary Patterson's players and teams play that style and they're going to beat you up and you don't want to play them. And then the next week, you know, you're going to be more bruised than you were going into that game. And you may not play to that level. Like, we were told, like, Chris Mack's teams are going to be the tougher team when they step on the floor. And at times you've seen that to a degree, but we haven't seen it lately, and we didn't see it at Pittsburgh, and Chris Mack is telling you he's not getting that. Chris Mack is frustrated and annoyed because in his years at Xavier, he just left the program that was up and running like that, that he probably wasn't near to the degree of teaching toughness. Like, to almost to a point, like, he's going through this year and maybe some frustrations that Cal does when he recycles every year of, like, oh, my God, I got to teach him this, and I got to teach him that, and I got to do this, and I got to do that, and every year it's the same thing. And Chris Mack's going, man, I just spent 7 years at Xavier building that thing, and my team was tough, and everybody knew that when they got in there, this is the way they played, and the older guys taught the younger guys, and it was the culture, and it built on itself, and it was a wheel that just continued to roll, and now I'm starting it all over. And good God, maybe you forget about the difficulties of building and instilling that at the very early stages.
I think the only other thing I would add to this conversation, I know you have different things you want to talk about, is I do wonder, and I don't think Chris Mack, I'm not saying he wouldn't tell you the truth, but I think Chris Mack may not know, and because whenever you try to go back in time to last year, I'm not saying he gets testy, but he makes it known that he wasn't here last year, nor does he care about last year. But when he talks about effort, this team started, I want to say, at a spot that we didn't expect, but I don't know if we overvalued how they started because we had kind of low expectations. I still feel as well as if, Jason, this team has got worse, and I don't know, or if they've leveled out. I kind of think they've dipped. I don't think they're as good as they were maybe a month ago. I wonder.
Mac agrees, by the way.
Yeah, and I just wonder how much of him is having to fight the woe is me that a lot of these guys have been involved with. some of them their entire time at U of L, right? Like, yeah. Stephen Enoch didn't play, but he was on the team. He was in that locker room on the bench last year. We know about Darius Perry, right? I mean, the only guys, really, we know about VJ King. We know about Dwayne Sun. It's the new guys in Christian Cunningham and Quan Four, and we know Cunningham's good. Without Cunningham, I'm not sure they're a double-digit win team this season, quite frankly.
Well, Christian Cunningham, where would they be without this player?
Right.
Where would Louisville
which
be
is
without
un-
Christian
which
Cunningham?
Is unfair, but let's be honest. We didn't know who he was when he committed in the middle of middle of the summer.
But it's also, and it's to your point to what sort of he's going to be battling, if maybe he's just frustrated right now with the way they're playing currently, and maybe it's not the culture is more difficult to instill or install, whatever way you want to phrase it, than maybe he thought. Maybe none of those things are going on. He's just generally frustrated with how the team is playing currently, and college basketball teams go through highs and lows, and certainly a team that's rebuilding to the degree that Louisville is with a new coach is going to go through those same things, but to the degree of a year ago that there were excuses already made no matter what, and if they lost, well, they've been through a lot, and if they had a close loss, well, it's tough. You can't really criticize them because they've been through a whole lot, and if the guy travels on the baseline when it's a set inbound play, it's like, well, they've been through a whole lot. I mean, really, you don't really want to criticize the team because good night, they've been through a whole lot in the coaching staff, and when you get sort of that excuse given to you time and time again, it's difficult to have somebody come in and go, no, there are no excuses anymore.
I think he's fighting that. Jason.
Yeah, because you can fall back on those habits, and I think there are three players, Cunningham, Four, and Akoya Gao. Those are the only guys that committed to Chris Mack on this team. Everybody else committed to Rick Pitino. Every single player on Louisville's team outside of Cunningham and Quan Four and Akoya Gao committed to Rick Pitino. And so, now Rick would demand some of the same things, by the way. Jordan Worrell wouldn't have played a second last year if Rick would have been the coach the way that he was playing defense. And Chris Mack gets in there and is like, yeah, you're not even starting. You're the best offensive player, but I'm not going to start you because I can't get you to do the things I want in practice. Malik Williams, well, is he going to start against Pitt because of the way that he's been playing with Enoch? I'm not inclined to do anything. And then he goes and says, well, Malik Williams has struggled in practice at times this year. Okay, well, he's got no problem saying, like, look, here's the reason. You play well in practice. You prove to me that you're going to do it there. I'll put you in the game. And if you're not going to do it there, I'm not going to put you in the game because it's not about just the 40 minutes in the game. It's about the practice, Allen Iverson, because it's about doing the things every day that you are expected to do so you build the right habits. And if you let it go the first year, you're starting off on the wrong foot. It's like somebody that takes over a job and they come in and they want to be everybody's friend. Well, guess what? You're not going to be able to go backwards and be an AH. You can also get nicer. But you can always get nicer. You can come in and be stern and get nicer through time. But if you come in and you're everybody's friend and then you try to be stern, they kind of just laugh it off. And so that's why I think like none of this stuff is going to fly with Chris Mack. Oh, Malik Williams, he should start. Cool. You should watch him in practice. And you'll see why, sometimes, which he didn't say that, but to a degree, it's like that's why he wasn't starting. And I do think there is and this is the last point, and we can move on because I want to talk about, specifically the game tomorrow. But when you've got a Gao, Cunningham, and Four are the guys that said, I'm committing to Louisville to play for Chris Mack. Perry, McMahon, Sutton, VJ King, Stephen Enoch, Malik Williams, they all committed to Rick Pitino. They all then had different coaches last year. They all then have a different coach this year for the remainder of their time at Louisville. And every single one of them has, more years. I mean, every single player that committed to Rick Pitino and now is playing for Chris Mack has another year in their career. The only players that committed to Chris Mack are the players that are gone after this year, that it's the here's your one final shot. So maybe there's a little bit of this is the coach I committed to, this is the school I was committing to, and this is my one shot, and there's a sense of urgency. Versus I was committing to another coach, I went through all the BS last year, I got another coach this year, and I got more years to play. And it's not the last sort of year. So maybe all of those things are going on. I mean, I don't know. We'll see what happens tomorrow against North Carolina. If there's some, epiphany or they get back to playing defense the way that he would like. But this is now multiple games and multiple press conferences that he's had that he's harped on one.
It's
end of
consistent.
The ball. He's or one yeah. side of the floor.
I guess yeah. last
and also, if you're playing better defense and you're getting long rebounds and you're getting easy buckets, well, guess what? Now you don't have to rely on Jordan Wara. Knocking down a three, or Christian Cunningham
Or rely on, you know, a fourth guy to step up and have 15, 16 points where you're like, wow, you got a nice, you know, addition to, you know, the game from that Ryan McMahon kid. He got you 12 points. That was pretty good. And, you know, you had Cunningham, Sutton, and Ward that got you 45 combined. Pretty good. Like, if they get 45 combined, can there be somebody else that gets 10 to 15 and then other guys contribute? Now you're talking about, you know, 75 and can you get to 80? Like, I mean, I don't know what all it's going to take, but certainly – Louisville's not going to win many games scoring 90 points.
I guess last thing for me would be, I keep hearing with parenting, like coaching, that you can't be the easy parent and then be the hard A later on. Is that the Anderson household or what? I mean, are you
I don't know. Ask my wife about being easy and then being hard later on.
Are you practicing what you preach or what here? Because I keep hearing this. I just don't know if it's, you know, if it's true or not.
I mean, look, everybody parents and raises their kids differently. I really, really thought, and this is, you know, not to be self-indulgent, but I really thought, Andy, legit, like, because I've always wanted kids, and, you know, a lot of people
sure,
do, and
yeah.
My wife certainly did, too, but I've always wanted kids, and I've always wanted, you know, my son, and I'm like, you know, I'm not going to, there's no way I can't, you know, imagine disciplining him or being mad at him, like, da-da-da. And I'm like, Kalen is going to be more of the hard head, and I'm going to be the one that's like, okay, come here, buddy. And it's the opposite.
Oh, really?
It is. It is. And
wow.
I didn't expect it because I thought I'd be the softy.
Wow.
And he's like,
so you're Tom Thibodeau then.
Every time, I guess, man. He needs to play more defense.
You're the
you
Bill
know?
Parcells.
I'm Matt Patricia.
You're
I'm practicing
tuna.
In snow, even though we're going to play in a dome. I don't care that it's a dome. It's 12 degrees. By the way, wondering what it looks like outside.
It's supposed to snow tomorrow, isn't it, in Kansas City, or be icy or rainy or whatever?
Right now, it looks like you were on a movie set of snow because the snowflakes are like, you know, 5 inches. I'm not going to go more than that, so I don't want to be on next week's mixtape. But let's just say they are the larger snowflakes that you would see in a movie.
Wow. That
would be like on a set, and you're like, wow, it's really snowing here. Like outside, yeah, there's
like a magical Christmas. Like if someone was writing a script
right.
on December 25th,
that's right, that's
all
right.
of these beautiful snowflakes started to small
Hallmark,
started to fall
Hallmark
in
during
small
December.
Town. There you go.
Hallmark during December, all right. the Christmas movies that are the love stories, the snow in those movies that are all the big snowflakes. That's what it's going on right now, and it's supposed to be 4 to 8 inches. And it's not going to stop until they think halftime of the game, that when the game starts, it's, you know, the snow is still going to be going. They can clear the field, but they're still going to get maybe an inch and a half while the game is going
that
on.
That changes
tomorrow,
my so. Mind. The Colts are going to be able to run the football against
That's
the Chiefs.
That's what scares the hell out of me,
yep,
man.
It should.
It scares the absolute hell out of me.
Marlon Mack having 175-yard total yards.
Scares the hell out of me because
yep.
I need Pat Mahomes to be you're brilliant. And if they're playing in a damn, you know, snowy game, and I'm like, this is stupid. This is dumb, you know?
The NFL plays on ESPN Louisville.
Stretching it out, jumps towards the pylon.
No.
He's in! Marlon Mack, a 2-yard touchdown run.
That's not right. That's not right at all.
Boy, Magic's
That's
so
okay.
You should see how much he's smiling right now. And he's not getting close to turning that mic on either.
No. He's also rooting for the team that's not getting close to hiring a coach, so...
Yeah, the Bengals ever going to hire any coach.
They're waiting for Eric Bieniemy to lose.
You know what? That's better than Adam Gase.
Oh, 100%. I will take Bieniemy.
Probably better than Clint Kingsbury. Try that again. Better than Cliff Kingsbury, too.
I don't know, man. He's swagged
Although
out.
Now, apparently, we're going for, like, the Rams offensive coordinator. Well, ooh, that gets the blood
flowing. I mean, this guy.
Who's the backup quarterback to Jared Goff? You should hire him to be the next coach.
I have no idea.
Been in the same film room as Sean McVay.
I was talking to Andy about this last night. I'm about ready to just like full board, just jump off the Bengals after this hire because it's going to piss me off, and I can't do this anymore.
I got
the
buddies
Bengals.
That have done that. I've got buddies.
I'm so done with them.
That have given up on the Bengals. Like they'll watch the NFL, but they aren't giving a dollar to the Cincinnati Bengals.
Join
done.
The Chiefs train, Magic. Come on.
Here we go. You don't believe
not
that.
Not tomorrow, though. After tomorrow. after this year. I don't want the curse that you're going to bring on that. Don't you put that evil on me, Magic Mike.
If anything, I put the evil down on New Orleans. That's always been my second team.
Yeah.
I'm about ready to just go like full board. It's like I'm here with Drew until he retires, and then after. I can't do it.
I'm just really hoping that, look, I don't care if it snows 8 inches. As long as it's done before the game starts, that's fine. It's an NFL field. It drains. They'll have the field clear to the snow, and it'll be fine. As long as it's done before the game. If it's going on the first half and going till halftime, yeah, it's going to be annoying.
Is it going to bother you And I don't know if Diener has this, but I know when Diener went out with Locke to one of these games last year, it was warm out. So I know Diener had one of those Kansas City Chiefs shirts it looked like he got from Old Navy. Does he have, do you know if Diener has warm Kansas City Chief stuff? Now, what do you think
he
of
does.
That? Does that bother you?
No, it doesn't. Okay. He's got, I was joking with him because I've got, for whatever reason, throughout the years, I've collected about 50 different shirts and polos and hats and hoodies of Royals and Mizzou, and I literally have two things that are Chiefs. I have a fleece pullover and a long-sleeve Chiefs shirt. And Drew has a fleece Chiefs pullover and a long sleeve Chiefs shirt. Drew owns the same amount of apparel Chiefs wise that I do. We were talking about that on the plane, right? Because he's like, "Yeah, I got a." He's like,
"You don't even have
both.
A
I got a
hat
long
or something."
I don't have a hat. No, I don't have a Chiefs hat.
How does Drew?
I'm actually thinking about buying one tomorrow.
As much Chiefs stuff as you.
I don't know what it is. I've just never, like, it. Back in the day when I was in high school and junior high, like, all I wore was Chiefs stuff. But then, you know.
They sucked, They stunk.
I mean, no, it's not
true. Come on, they had Alex Smith.
Number one seeds.
Well, I mean, Alex Smith.
Back in high school, that wasn't in high school. I was a professional, man. I was covering the
team. So what did you pack? What did you pack for tomorrow, then? Gloves, coat? What did you pack? Because it's going to be 20 degrees out there. Are you guys going to tailgate? What's going to happen here?
I have a, I've got my fleece Chiefs pullover.
Okay.
I've got either a stocking cap or I've got a red Louisville Bats hat that I have that I haven't decided which I'm going to wear tomorrow. I don't know. I've got a jacket that I can wear over the fleece as well. But you got to remember, Andy, too, and this is where it's going to come off as pretentious, like I'm Lachlan McLean or something.
Here we go.
I went to university, you know, created by Thomas Jefferson. We're in a suite, so we can always go back inside and get warm.
Yeah.
And then we can go outside and cheer and be with the commoners, you know what I mean?
The peasants.
And then it's like, oh, my God, it's a little cold outside, so we go back inside and get warm, grab some food, and then walk outside and be with the peasants and the commoners, and then go back inside and get warm. So we don't really have to dress like we're going to be hunting in 10-degree weather, and we're going to be out there for 3 or 4 hours waiting for that one, you know, deer to run by and maybe take a shot, and like, I missed it. Well, go home now. That's not what we're dealing with. We are living the life that for the first time ever, I got off the plane and I walked out and there was a guy in an all black getup and a Kango Bruce Arians hat with a sign with an iPad in front of him with the name Jason Anderson written on the iPad.
Nice.
I walk out and I'm like, wow, that's my name. I'm like, oh wait, I thought it would say Drew Diener. Why does the driver have my name on instead of Drew's? And I was like, hey. And he's like, are you Jason? I'm like, that's me. He's like, I think you have somebody else with you. I'm like, yes, Drew. I don't know where he's at. but he eventually showed up. And so we had a driver. They had a car that picked us up at the airport and drove us all the way here to the station.
That's that bougie life.
I mean, legit, man. Like, Drew pays for the flight. The parent company, you know, pays for the driver, the hotel, and the tickets. And it's like, this is crazy, man. I can't complain too much if there's, you know, some precipitation during the game. I'm gonna have a suite. Like,
I hope I'm not betraying Magic's confidence, but tell Jason in the audience what you asked me when you got to the party last night. Do you remember what you said to me?
Yeah, please, Magic. I don't know.
No, Magic goes something to the effect of, what's ever going to happen to you, Andy, if the Giants ever make the postseason ever again?
I did. I was like, I was over here. It's like, you know, no disrespect, Jason and all, but Drew over here like, this station wouldn't exist without you. And I'm like,
that's right. Well, I mean, maybe, at least somebody's going to
maybe if the
Magic.
Giants ever make the playoffs again, maybe, you know, Andy's winning.
Magic, I'm just saying.
It's never going to happen.
Somebody, you know what, Magic? At least somebody's willing to admit it, Magic. Okay, I know that you are too proud. Way too proud to say anything like that, Magic, but at least there's somebody around the office that is willing to admit.
And, of course, we dove into this for a second, and then I pivoted us, you know, out of this on the midday rush. We dove into did Drew set up the trip for himself and then thought, wait a minute.
I should take Jason too.
I can't go to the Chiefs game because Jason loves this team.
I will say this, and I don't know if this was part of the long con, and I didn't put two and two together until the end of the show yesterday. Drew, at one point earlier this week, I want to say it was early Tuesday when I came into the office right after the meeting, had said something to the effect of, man, I think I'm going to be able to get some tickets for out there at the KC game. I'm looking forward to that. And I was like, okay, so Drew's going to go out there, you know, got the hookup with ownership. I didn't know And I don't know if he knew at the time that the plan was to try and get Jason. It may have been. He didn't let me know at the time.
Like, I'm curious if that point is starting to look guilty.
I'll be honest with you. I don't even care what the plan was. Like, I don't care if the original plan was I'm going to go out there and I'm going to have some fun. And then he thought, you know what? Let me see what the prices are. See if I can swing this thing and do him a solid.
That's how terrible we were that we were evaluating Drew's generosity when none of us have generosity.
Yeah. I mean, it just I
by the way, over I mean, like over under number of tweets about the stadium experience tomorrow we're going to get from
Drew. I was going to say over under on Drew's drinks from tonight to tomorrow. Ooh, I was going to have it 75 and a half.
Oh. Well, I mean, we've already got dinner plans.
Where is
shocking.
It? Steakhouse?
I know this.
Steakhouse?
It's going to be some, you know.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a good steakhouse.
Good night, man.
Get the bone-in filet and the mac and cheese.
Dude, we don't need to get the mac and cheese because they'll order sides for everybody and every single appetizer on the menu.
Fair point.
You guys want some crab? You guys want some crab?
Yes.
You guys like tuna? You like tuna? Okay, let's get some wings. We'll get a couple wings. We'll get a couple of them. Like, oh, yeah, sure, just whatever. Hey, you guys like deviled eggs? I'm like, they're okay. Hey, there's $5 per deviled egg. Let's get 20 of those. Like, what are you doing? Why do you want $5 for a deviled egg, man? What the hell is it? What's in that thing, man? Is there crack cocaine in there? Like, what the hell are they selling? Is that methamphetamine that is in the damn deviled egg? Like, this is dumb. So, I mean, I don't know. Who knows where we're, you know, going to end up going tonight. But, you know, we'll see what the experience is like tomorrow. But Drew's 2-0 there. And, you know, I've
well, that's good.
Last
yeah.
playoff game I went to was the 93 game in which they won. So, we'll see what ends up taking place. But, I mean, it's, I don't know. I don't know how we got on that conversation from where we were talking about Louisville and North Carolina. But we did. Yeah. We got there. And somehow we had a driver, and I've got my own hotel room, so there's no man bed with me and Drew tonight. That's exciting.
Do you guys have a driver the rest of the time, or is it Uber, or what happens now?
It was just from and then back to the airport. So we'll be Ubering to the hotel from the station here, and then from the hotel to meet them to go to
Drew's
the
best
tomorrow,
line, so. He said it last night, but he said it on air, so it's not like I'm speaking out of turn. He says, I use Uber and Lyft all the time. Because I have too many enemies.
which
is a fantastic line that I'm going to steal, by the way, at some point.
A lot of people out there that would like to see some people fall.
Texture says, I was going to say this is a humble brag, but it's really just a brag.
It's a great brag.
I've often
but
said
it's like,
that.
I wasn't even trying to brag. Like, it's more taken aback. Like, I've never had that experience. I've never walked out and had somebody holding a sign that says Jason Anderson. I'm like, I guess that's me? Like, okay. Like, it would have been better if the guy was able to actually drive and stay in the lane without jerking back and forth. That would have been a more enjoyable ride. But still, we had a driver. That was nice. We didn't die, you know, getting here, so that's fine, too. So, you know, all's good. You know, knock on wood on the trip back to the airport. I don't know what's going to happen there, so... hopefully we'll have stories. I don't know. Drew will be wearing his fleece. I'll be wearing a fleece. I'll probably buy a Chiefs hat or something.
Oh, yeah. Dude, that atmosphere is going to be insane. I mean, win or loss. Obviously, if it's a win, you know how the end of the game. But I'm saying you need to take, and I know you have that busted Android phone. Get Diener to do it. You got to get video of some kind. I mean, this is
I'll let him do it. I can't. I don't have space on my phone.
But I will say, whatever happens, they're going to be there a few more times with that quarterback. So let's settle down. You know, let's settle down.
I agree.
Just a little bit, you know.
Well, if we want to actually
talk Dwayne Haskins there for you.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Giants.
If we want to actually talk a little football, here's the thing.
Okay.
Is the reason I actually feel there's a little more pressure in my view of this game is that while, yes, I think the Chiefs are going to be there a few more times with this quarterback, the Colts are young, talented, have a crap ton of cap room, mm-hmm. and they've got Andrew Luck as well. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if the Colts are set up to have a really good, successful run of a good team that is Super Bowl caliber for a number of years, which could go into year 4, 5, 6, and 7 of Mahomes, where it's like, oh, Mahomes and Luck, here we go again. It's Mahomes and Luck. So I feel like if you're going to get the Colts right now where they're young and they haven't spent all that cap that they've got, this is as good a year as any because you get them at home. There's a little more, concern or emphasis on this game because I think that Ballard is a hell of a GM, and I think the Colts are going to continue to put together a really good roster, and they've already got Luck. So, if you want to actually talk football, that's where I think the sort of importance on this game is, because if Andrew Luck and the Colts win this one,
Just wait to the offseason moves and the continual drafts and the cap room that they have that they'll be able to put together a really good team.
Let me read three texts quickly. UPS Jobs text line 437-9680. Texter says, will Jason and Drew high-five on good plays?
100%.
Texter says, is Andre McGee still in Kansas City driving an Uber? What if? Is number one, is he? And then number two, what if?
Dude, I mean, this is funny. I pointed this out. Drew didn't realize it when we were talking about it. He was showing me the address of the hotel. He's like, hey, do you know where this is? And we're staying closer to downtown, which is sort of closer in the middle of the station and the airport, because you know, the airport, for whatever reason here, is in Iowa. It's dumb. And so he shows me the address, and our hotel is on McGee Street. And I looked at it and I'm like, dude, we're staying on McGee Street. He goes, oh my God.
Yes.
He goes, oh my God, I just realized that. I'm like, what if Andre lives there? What if it's named after his family?
Undefeated.
I don't know. Who knows? You know, the guy's an Uber driver. We're staying on McGee Street. I mean, the connections are endless here, guys.
Well, he might know Drew. I mean that. Andre McGee might recognize Diener, would he not?
What if he was the Uber driver? Well, wouldn't he recognize the name then? He would see like Drew Diener. He's like, I ain't picking that dude up. No, thank you. You can get the next one.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Texter does wonder here at 437-9680, or does say, it's a shame that the Chiefs won't sell cheap tickets to recreate an NIT atmosphere. That coming down at 437-9680. Oh, not again.
Yeah, that's a...
The NIT won't be as charming this time around.
No, it will not. Oh. It'll be annoying, and don't let the NIT happen ever again after this year.
Can you go shirtless? Can you go shirtless into the suite? Like a painted chest, if you wanted to.
Yeah, if I wanted to, I'm just not that guy.
Well, of course you're not. Nobody is.
I'm not going to be the guy. Yeah, I'm not going to be the guy at the game where it's 10 degrees and they take a shirt off. I'm like, nope, you enjoy that, man. I'm going to be, you get on TV, that's fine. I'm good. I'm going to try to not get hypothermia. But you do you, brother. I'm going to watch the game this way. Mm-hmm. So, no, I'd rather be comfortable. I believe in comfort. That's why I don't think... going out and going on. I don't call camping a vacation, because vacation should be comfort, should be enjoyable, and laying on the earth, and not having AC or heat or whatever, and food that I can just go and heat up in a microwave or whatever. That's not relaxing to me. So hey, let's go camping. Hey, let's not. All right, how about this? Let's set up a tent in the backyard. That's what we'll do, okay? And then we can come inside and we can get whatever we want. We can get some food or something. I can drive to the store. We can come inside if it's too warm and enjoy the AC, watch some stuff on the tube. And then, you know what? We'll go outside and we'll sleep in the tent. Now we're camping, everybody. Yes. Yes. Thanks, Dad. I love camping with you. All right. Dad's the best.
What else did you want to talk about this hour?
I did want to ask you this, though, and this is a legit question about the UNC game tomorrow. This, I promise, because we're going to talk about Eddie Grant, and I discussed that a little bit yesterday, and we talked a little bit NFL. The other one on UK was just sort of Vandy, and why is there sort of consternation with Vandy? They're not that good, and it's a home game, so it shouldn't be a problem. But with U of L tomorrow, that I expect them to lose against North Carolina, I do wonder this. Two questions to you, Andy. How many games would need to be played in the Dean Dome for Louisville to win one? Is it 4, 5, 6? And I'm not talking about a best of seven that would they get swept? Would they win one? No, because if it takes 6 games for them to win one, then a best of 7, then you know they would ultimately be swept. But is it 6 games? Is it 1-7 that Louisville finds a way to win tomorrow? Like, I'm just curious, like your thought of like how many games played tomorrow would it take, and one of those things happens to where Louisville's got more points than North Carolina when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I mean, don't you think it's 1 or 2 out of 10?
I that's what I was saying. I was thinking 1 out of 6 or 1 out of 5, so 2 out of 10. So I'm leaning probably towards 1 out of 6. Like, if Louisville played the game tomorrow against North Carolina 6 times, I think they'd be able to win one. Maybe that one is tomorrow. But that's like, what, 16-17%? I mean, that sounds about right. This team, the way they're playing right now at North Carolina, in the Dean Dome, probably 16-17% chance of winning that game. And along the lines of that, my next question was going to be, can they get a, quote, win without winning, if that makes sense?
No. Like,
can they come away from the game tomorrow and go, you know what?
No.
That happened.
Nope.
Feeling good. Now let's go into the rest of the ACC play.
Because here's what's happened with this team. And I understand, and it got clouded by the Marquette game. Here's what I believe has happened. Tennessee was so early in the season that Tennessee, you played with them, you know, Louisville played with them, not you. Louisville played with them for 34 minutes, 35 minutes-ish, okay? Mm-hmm. And that was seen as, okay, if you can do that against Tennessee, you can do fill-in-the-blank against fill-in-the-blank team. And then the Marquette game happened. No, Marquette, they lost, right? Yeah, with the Jordan War 3 and then the other things that happened.
Mm-hmm.
The Marquette game happened, and people were mad, and they wrote it off because of the officials, which I understand, and I don't totally disagree with that at all, but in March, people are not going to remember that, unfortunately.
Right, the selection committee isn't going to care.
And you may say, well, will they? I say, no, look at last year. Look at how you lost to Virginia at home, and you pretty much beat Virginia, but it didn't count, and it didn't help you. You did not make the NCAA tournament. We are done with moral victories for the University of Louisville. And I think the Pitt game erased a lot of that. That's my belief.
Is that because of them beating Michigan State and Seton Hall? Are we done with moral victories this year in year one for Mac in what we thought was a longer rebuild
because they
beat Michigan State and Seton Hall? If they don't win those games, is Louisville still in the business of moral victories in terms of, hey, Mac is still in? Now you can see the culture start to build for this team, and you can see Chris Mack's fingerprints.
I say no, and the reason I say no is because of this. Indiana, winnable game. Indiana's okay? Mm-hmm. Indiana losing to Kentucky, and that always evokes emotion, no matter how good one of the teams may be. And we know it was a little bit lopsided this year, and then this Pitt game erased it. I think those three games have erased the "it's okay" moral victory. I'm not saying that people won't have that, but I'm saying a month ago we would have passed this game through the prism of you can play well and still believe later in the season. But now you're mid-January. I mean, now what, 40-some percent of your schedule's done? Now you're in the ACC play, and those three specific games, Indiana, Kentucky, and what we saw against Pittsburgh, has erased it.
Yeah, I mean, after the game against North Carolina, they are more than halfway through the regular season.
There it is, 50%
through.
They'll
play 31 regular season games. Tomorrow's game number 16, so they'll be more than 50% done after the North Carolina game. Thank you, Andy. I appreciate it, sir. Enjoy the games this weekend.
Man, have a good time, dude. Have a good time.
Thank you, sir. All right, Full Court Press coming up next.
You are listening to The Zone Podcast. Check out Jason Anderson weekdays 3 to 6 only on ESPN 680 and ESPNLouisville.com.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination online at bluegrasskarting.com.